Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this Sunday, May 10th. It is Mother's Day. I want to wish all the moms out there and grandmas a happy Mother's Day from us. Thank you for all you do to look after us and take care of us. I want to thank my mom who watches this every week. So thankful for you and your love and support all through the years. You're the best. I know many people in their life, they've got great moms and grandmas, and then there's others who maybe haven't had always, but God has provided someone, you know, who's been a mom to them in their life. God always fills the gaps in our life, and so we thank them as well, and our wives, you know, who we've watched pour into our own kids. What they do tirelessly just for us. We thank God for all the incredible moms in our life today. A couple announcements. One is starting next Sunday, May 17th, we go to our summer schedule, which means we have one service every Sunday now for just these 3 months where we all come together. The two services come together into one, and we can be together and enjoy the summer and do our church service just as one congregation. And that is going to be a 9:30 service. So it's right in the middle time. And so come on out, join us all through the summer. I'm going to be preaching on the fruit of the Spirit this summer and the incredible character of Christ that wants to grow in us, that he wants to grow in us. And so that'll begin for our summertime. So it's May 17th, which is next Sunday. Our services will be at 9:30. Come early, too. We have donuts and coffee for those who come early. Next announcement is Vacation Bible School. It's starting in just 3 weeks. And so if you haven't registered your kids, please register them. Pastor Jessica and the team always do such an incredible job of teaching our kids about the Lord. And we have games and crafts and Bible lessons and lots of amazing things that they get to do and experience. We do our VBS in the evenings, and so we do it from 6 to 8 every night, Sunday through a Thursday. So it's May 31st through June 4th. So you can register by going to our website, going to our Facebook, going and checking on your church email, or just call in the church office. Tell us how many kids you got coming or neighbor kids that want to come. And there's no cost. Just we need to know how many so we can be prepared and know their names. And then the last announcement is this summer we're going to have a baptism service like we always do. We always go to a member of the church's house, got a little lake in the back, and we're going to have a baptism there and then also a grill out picnic kind of thing afterwards. It's always a beautiful time. The date we're going to do it this year is July 12th. And so if you're interested in being baptized, if you've never been and you want to be baptized, this is important. Give me a call. Talk to me. And we're going to have a time to meet to talk about what that is. And then we'll get you ready for that time to celebrate new life in Jesus Christ. All right. Well, getting into the sermon now, a verse that I've been thinking a lot about this week is John 19:25, which says this: near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Isn't that a great verse? Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. She was right there beside her son. Where else would she be, right? The heart of a mother is to be near her child. Mary could not take away the cross that Jesus had to bear, but she could be near him. And so that is where she was. Today I want to spend our time in this sermon reflecting on three moms that we find in the Bible. The moms of Moses, Samuel, and Jesus. Three important men. Moses was used of God in great ways to help deliver his people out of slavery and lead them to the promised land. Samuel was a judge, a priest, and a prophet who anointed Israel's first king. And then, of course, Jesus is the Son of God, our Savior, who came from heaven to earth, took on flesh, died for our sins on a cross, and rose on the third day to give us eternal life. These are three significant guys. I preach many sermons about these guys. But today I want to think about their moms. And this is not a how-to sermon, how to be a better mom. Our moms are doing fine. They do a lot for us. We're thankful for our moms. This is not a sermon about what more a mom needs to do. This is a sermon just about three moms and how God worked in their life with his goodness and grace to help them through tough things, and how great is God's faithfulness to our moms. And so the first mom I want to look at today is actually two moms sharing the role of one. It is Moses' mom. God actually gave Moses two moms, one that gave birth to him and another who raised him. And so we read their story in Exodus. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read Exodus 1:15 through 2:10 in this first section. But before I do, just a little bit of context. At this time in history, God's people were being oppressed pretty badly. An evil Pharaoh in Egypt at that time looked upon the Israelites living there with only jealousy and fear. So he began to oppress them. He put them into slavery. But the more he persecuted them, the more they thrived because God was with them. But then he tries to kill them, to wipe them out. And we read this in Exodus 1:15, that the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shephrah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth and at the delivery, if you see that the baby is a boy, you've got to kill him. But if it is a girl, you can let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned them in and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" And the midwives answered the Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They're vigorous. They give birth without the midwives even being there." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased, became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he even gave them families of their own. And then Pharaoh gave this order to all of his people: "Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile River, but let every girl live." Now, a man from the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant, gave birth to a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. She placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what was going to happen to her baby brother. Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. Her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to go and get it. She opened it up and saw the baby inside. He was crying. She felt sorry for him. "This is one of those Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby, nurse him for me, and I'll pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Now, I gotta say first that I love that the ones that God uses in this story are all women. Pharaoh is trying to commit genocide of an entire race, kill off all these people. But God works here, but not through a violent uprising in the land, but through the courageous obedience of a number of women. First, the midwives. God placed them in a position for such a time as this, and they were brave. They did not do what the evil king wanted, even though it could have meant their lives. They did what was right. They feared God more than man. And so they did not kill the baby boys. And when they were found out, God protected them. They were not killed. And it even says God gave them families of their own. But then we see Moses' mom being brave. She had no idea her baby would one day grow up and help deliver her people out of slavery and lead them in through the desert to freedom. For her, it was just her baby. And she loved it. She wanted to protect it with everything that she could. So she defies a king, even though it could have been her head. Her name was Yocheved. Pharaoh gave the command to the soldiers that whoever found any Hebrew baby boy to take it, kill it, and throw it into the river. Well, Yocheved gave birth in secret, and then she hid her son. And when she could hide him no longer, she would have to let him go in order to save him. It was the baby's only chance. She laid her baby in the Nile River, somewhere near the Pharaoh's palace, we know. And I think if we read the story carefully, we have to see God's hand here all over this, for his plan that he had leading this mom, Yocheved, to know exactly where to place her child in that river. God first tells her to make this basket a certain way and to coat it with tar and pitch that was going to protect her child, and then to place her son in that basket along the reeds in a particular spot near where he knew the women were going to come down to bathe. Now, I would think, in my understanding, that you would want to place the child as far away from danger as possible, as far away from that evil Pharaoh as you could get. But God leads her to lay him down right near the palace where the women were going to come down to bathe. She gave this mother that wisdom. And the mom may not have known everything that was going to happen to her child in that moment, but this was like a desperate prayer in her mind, and she is having to trust God and follow God that his plan was going to save her son. One day also save her people. God had a plan for her child, but this mom would have to give him up in order to help him and save him. And this is where we see mama number two come down, Pharaoh's daughter, the most unlikely one you would have expected. But I believe God chose her for this. Pharaoh's daughter's down by the river at the very same time the baby's laid in the basket. She hears the baby cry. She goes over to look. She draws the baby out. Now, it was her father who gave the strict orders that all the Hebrew boys had to be killed. So she's not only defying a king, she's disobeying her own dad, which could have been even worse for her. She takes the child in, she saves it. And in Exodus 2:6, it says, she saw the baby, had mercy on him, so felt sorry for him. Well, now some might say, well, of course she felt sorry for him. All women are kind of born with this, or even humans are just born with this. You can't just ignore a baby who is lying there in need. But that was a different time. That was a horrible time, an evil time. I believe that God put that love and compassion in this woman's heart for that child because this is who he had called her to be, Moses' mom, to raise him. So she drew him up out of the water, took him in as her own son. I've spent more time recently with Wilma Sundin lately because she hasn't been doing well with a lot of memory loss and confusion, living there in assisted living. But boy, she still got the same heart, and the staff told me she still has the gift. They brought her to a piano not long, a few days ago, and she began to just play like never before. Well, one story that Wilma loves to tell when I go and visit her, and have for 10 years, you know. But I've heard this story more than 30 times. But one story that she loves to tell, that she doesn't forget even with all her memory losses, is the story that I think defines Wilma and has affected how she sees herself more than even the piano. And that's that Wilma was adopted. Someone chose to take Wilma home when she was a baby and to love her as their own. Wilma tells the story of how her mom and dad were wanting to adopt a child. And they wanted a boy, she said. But then the agency called and told them a girl was just born that needed a home. And so they went to the hospital. And there Wilma was as a baby, lying there in the bassinet. And as Wilma loves to tell it, as soon as her dad saw her, he picked her up, and supposedly she would cry back then when anybody held her, but not him. She just smiled up at him as if she as a baby already knew, and he just smiled down at her, and she just cuddled in his arms. And then reportedly he said to the nurse right there, "This is my daughter." How did he know? How did he feel that bond so fast? And Wilma's dad had no idea that this baby girl would go on to become such a phenom piano player and bless so many with her music, teach so many kids, and lead so many in worship. Her dad didn't choose her because of who she would be. He loved her as his own. God gave him this love, this child to raise. Well, similarly, Moses had two moms, the one who gave birth to him and the one who drew him out of the water. God gave Pharaoh's daughter a love for this baby lying in that basket, and she courageously took him home and raised him. This is how God would provide for him, and Moses would grow up in the palace with an education and a perspective that maybe God had in mind all along of what he would need to one day lead his people. The perfect plan of God, you see, is sometimes hard for us to see in the moment, but looking back, we see the reason. And it was courageous and sacrificial for Jochebed to give up her son. She had to do it twice. Once laying him there in the basket, and the second as she gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter after she nursed him. But she trusted God to look after her son and that this was the way he would be saved. And it was courageous for Pharaoh's daughter as well to take him in. And she's the one who actually names him. I love how when Pharaoh's daughter finds the child, she has no idea who the mother is, that she's talking to the baby's sister, this young girl who's watching, overseeing what's happening. But she's talking to the sister, and then the sister gets the real mom, the bio mom, I mean, to nurse the boy, and Pharaoh's daughter even pays her for it. I mean, look at that, how God blesses and looks after the whole situation when we daringly trust and just obey him. We need courage to be parents today. I think of how moms all over the world put themselves at risk to protect and provide for their kids. I think of how moms do this all the time in prayer for us, in prayer for, you know, they pray for God's protection over their kids. And God shows us what to pray for, shows what we need, and even those alarms to watch out for. Often we'll give to those moms. We don't know all the purposes that God has for our kids, but we know that he knows those purposes, and so we trust his plan and provision, and he loves us more than loves our kids more than we do. So within the story of Moses, we just find two moms, one who gave birth to him, the one God used to raise him. But the second mom I just want to briefly mention today is Samuel's mom. Her name is Hannah. Her story is found in 1 Samuel 1. She was a woman who, like many, was unable to have a child, though she really wanted one. Well, she mourned over this, and she prayed for a child for a long time. And she even prayed in 1 Samuel 1:11, "Lord Almighty, if you would only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." She says, "Remember me, Lord." And it says in 1 Samuel 1:20, "In the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.'" The name Samuel means God's hears. And it says in the course of time, she became pregnant. So who knows how long she had to wait? We don't always understand the time of God, but we wait for him, trusting that he's never late. And he is always faithful. And in his perfect time and way, Hannah became pregnant and had a child. When he was born, Hannah remembered too. She did not forget her promise to God. She remembered him as he remembered her. She fulfills her vow. After the child was weaned, she brought him to the priest Eli to be raised and live to serve the Lord all the days of his life. She says in 1 Samuel 1:27, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has given me what I asked of him. So now I give him back to the Lord." I give him back to the Lord. Such an interesting phrase. Give him back. This implies Hannah knew where the child came from. She knew that her child was an answer to her prayer, that God had given her this child. She knew that. She didn't just finally get lucky and it all work out and she have a baby. She knew the Lord had given her Samuel. So she gave Samuel back to the Lord, meaning that he would live his life for God. Colossians 1:16 declares that in him all things are made, things in heaven and on earth. All things were created by him and for him, and only through him are we held together. Every child is created by God. Life is a gift God gives. I think of Psalm 100, which says, "Shout for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his." We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We were created by God. We belong to him. Before my kids belonged to me, they belong to him. Psalm 139 says, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Every life is sacred because we are made by God. Hannah knew this, that her child Samuel came from God and belonged to God before he belonged to her. She prayed for this child and God gave him. So in love and in worship, she gave her child back to God. Not that she wasn't going to be his mom anymore, but that he would go and do whatever God had willed for him and created him to do. Samuel wasn't for her to decide, but for God to decide. Samuel wasn't given to just fulfill Hannah's needs and wants, but God's. For us, this reminds us that our children are a gift from God, that he made them, knit them together with a purpose in mind, and that he gave them to us to raise, but they're not ours first, but his first. They exist like we all do for God. And so at one time or another, we all got to trust the Lord and give back to him everything that he has given to us. One thing that has really spoken to this me about Hannah's story as I read it is there is her prayer, which is found in the next chapter. And it's so similar to the prayer of Mary, the mother of Jesus, that we find in the New Testament. They both open with, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, because there is no one like you." And then their song is all about God. Now, they don't love their children any less, but they just love God even more. Now, that has really spoken to me, that even greater than Hannah's love for her child was Hannah's love for her God. Her song is about him. She could give her child to the Lord because she loved and knew the Lord. Jesus said the greatest commandment is first to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then second, it is to love your neighbor as yourself. And this order is important, that God has to come first, because if you flip them, if you love your neighbor, even your family, even your spouse, even your own child more than God, then you have just put them over him and have made an idol in your life. And you will no longer be thinking just what's best for that child, what God's intention is for them. You'll be thinking about yourself most, with your own wants and needs for this child, or what you think might be best for them or make them the most happy, not what is best according to God, who is over all. God created your children. They come from him, and his desires and his plans and his love for them matters even more than yours. And so whatever they have to go through in life to know him and to live into who he's made them to be, you gotta let him do that. You have to trust God with your kids. So we learn from Hannah what it means to give God back what he has given to us. They are his and not mine. And we're to love God first. And it was perfect because Samuel grew up in that temple. And we read that he learned from a very young age how to hear the voice of God. And he became a great priest, prophet, and leader as God had prepared for him to be. The last mom I want to mention today on Mother's Day is Jesus' mom, Mary. And again, I think of that verse. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, right beside him. The majority of scriptures we have about Mary are found in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 1, we read about the angel who came to Mary, told her that she was going to be with child. This is before Mary was married or had been with a man. Mary was confused and said, "How could this be? I'm a virgin." And the angel told her the miracle that God was going to do in her, unlike any other, how this child would be the Son of God. And she was to call him Jesus, for he would be King Most High and would save us from our sins. And to all of this, Mary replies with that famous line, "I am the Lord's servant, may it be in me as you have said." In other words, "I am willing, God, whatever your plan is." This could not have been how she had envisioned her life going, but this was God's plan for her, and so she surrendered to it. Mary was willing to be a mom to Jesus. And even though she didn't understand of everything that of what was happening, she had faith. Now, a couple things about her story I wanted to really mention today are first in Luke 2, 17 to 19. After Jesus is born, the angels, you know, come to shepherds there in the fields. And then it says the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And then it says when they had seen him, they went out and spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. But then it says Mary just treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Literally, it says, Mary held them close to her heart. She didn't talk a lot. She didn't go around and brag and tell a whole bunch of people. She held the truths of this child and the words that God had given her concerning him close to her heart. She kept her son where mothers often keep their kids. Close to their heart. Mary was the first to hear about Jesus, who he was and what he would do. She was the first to feel the Lord inside of her, growing as a baby, like only a mom knows that feeling. She was the first to look upon his face, then watch him as he grew up every day in those toddler years, and then into a boy, and then into a young man, and then watch him become all that God had promised her that he would be. She got a front row seat. She held him daily close to her heart. She had that mother bond from the earliest of days. She knew how his hair always fell to one side and how best to comb it, and what that little mark on his back was, and how he got that scar, and how he walked a certain way, and his voice. She knew it well because she heard that voice so many times call to her. Mary had a mother's love. Unique to her was that Jesus wasn't just her Savior, but also her child. With this call, this love would also come pain for her. For not long after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took the baby to the temple, as was Jewish custom, and they made their sacrifices and dedicated him. And as they were there, God sent a couple special people to speak over this child, to pray for them. And one of those people, we read in Luke 2, was an old man named Simeon. It had been revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Lord's anointed. It was the dream of his life, and God answered it. Simeon got to see Jesus. He was there as Mary and Joseph brought the baby in. And at once, God showed him, "This is the child you've been waiting for." And so Simeon ran up to Mary and Joseph, bringing words of comfort and confirming for them exactly what the angel had told them privately. And then Simeon speaks directly to Mary in Luke 2:34, saying, "This child is destined to cause the rising and the falling of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Not a literal sword. It means sorrow. Simeon is telling Mary that she would not just have the joy and watching her child grow, but unfortunately sorrow, for she would experience suffering as a mother of Jesus. She would be alive to see her son go through crucifixion, and as a mother, it would have felt like a sword to her very soul, like nails that were going through her skin as he was a part of her. This was her child. As a mother, it would have been even more painful for her than for the disciples and followers of Jesus watching from a distance. Mary was his mom, who carried him in her womb, nursed him as a baby, helped him grow into a man. She held him close to her heart. She was near the cross when Jesus died. She was not far away. She was right beside her son. Where else would she be? This past year, I have been near moms who've had to go through suffering. Only God can truly know the sorrows or sufferings deep in a mom's heart that they have to carry. I have seen moms sitting next to their kids in hospital rooms and watching them in pain, a pain they can't take away, but pray that they could. I've sat with moms who've lost children, who've had to go through the deepest pain and grief. I have sat with moms who just feel like they're not enough, not doing enough, carrying a load of weight of guilt or regret or wishing they could have answers for something or wish that they could do more. All the burdens that a mama carries. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Our God is near you as you are near them. He loves you much. You are who he chose to be the mom for those kids. And you are enough because he is enough, and he is with you to do and help you do everything that he's just called you to do. You may wish different things and outcomes, or think that you could have done maybe something more. But you're the mom, and that's good. We're all broken people who need forgiveness and grace and God's love every day. And thankfully, it's never just up to any one person. There's only one God, and we're not him. Only one Savior, and we can't be that either. But all we have to be is who he has made us to be. He calls you to just be mom. And he gives you everything you need to do it. And he'll help you. Because he's good, and his grace is always enough. Thank God for moms. those who were there at the foot of the cross with us. Thank God for moms. And Lord, help our moms. Encourage our moms today. They carry a big burden at times close to their heart that we don't always see. Lord, help them see that as they are beside us, you are right there beside them. That as their hearts are broken, yours is too. And that when they pray, you hear every mama prayer. You hear it, and in your perfect time and way, you're always faithful. God bless our moms with a special grace for today. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.